Officials with the Department of Homeland Security say 500 of the 2,300 children separated from their families at the border over the past 6 weeks have been reunited with family members, but details are scarce. Immigration lawyers working with parents arrested at the border say they're getting very little information about where children are or how the government will find them.
This morning on Twitter, President Trump had strong words on immigration, blasting Democrats for telling, quote, phony stories of sadness and grief, and telling Republicans to stop wasting their time on trying to pass immigration legislation until the midterm elections are over. Joining us now to look at the politics we've experienced this week are Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Enrique.
Hi.
And Tolu Olorunipai, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News, is with us as well. Hi, Tolu.
Hey there.
And Tolu, let me start with you. What is the latest on the plan to reunite these families that have been separated?
Yeah, we're getting very little information from the administration about what they've done so far, what they're planning to do to reunite more than 2,300 kids who have been separated from their parents as they crossed the border. We have heard very vaguely from the administration that more than 500 of these kids have been reunited with their parents since May, but we don't know when that happened, if any of that happened after the president signed an executive order earlier this week ordering the end of the family separation policy. It's very unclear. We have not been able to get very many answers from the administration. It does appear that they have been very they've lacked the focus when they have done this family separation to be able to put families back together, because it seems that they don't necessarily know where all the children are, where all the parents are, and what they need to do to bring the two together. It seems like there's a lot of challenges that they're going to face in trying to reunify these families, because it was done in such an ad hoc manner, the separation, that it doesn't seem like the various agencies are talking to one another, and it's going to be very difficult for these hundreds of kids who, some of them can't recall the phone numbers of their parents or the names of their parents.
Right.
How to bring them back together is going to be very difficult.
Well, a Guatemalan mother seeking asylum was reunited with her 7-year-old son at Baltimore's Washington Airport overnight. She had sued to get her son back, be reunited with her son after they were separated a month ago. Enrique, I understand you were on a reporting trip to McAllen, Texas this week and visited a detention center where 1,500 children are being held. What did you see?
Hi, Meghna. Well, first of all, let's remember these are the stories, the sounds, the images that the Trump administration is complaining about, the ones that they're saying that we shouldn't be focusing on or that Democrats are creating. They're very real. They're there. And if they would spend more time at the border, if the Secretary of Homeland Security, the rest of the cabinet, the president himself would spend time at the border, he would see that these stories are very real. And the stories are horrible, are things that I would never thought I'd see in the United States. Stories of family separation, the result of not just an extreme and cruel decision by this administration, but I think of years, of decades, really, of Republicans, hard right Republicans in the House, blocking any comprehensive immigration reform efforts.
Mm. Well, you watched a mass trial of immigrant detainees in McAllen, Texas. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Curtis Tecedo is 6492, separated from his 11-year-old son. Ms. Aguilera, separated from her 6-year-old son.
So what's happening there in what we're just hearing, and what's expected to happen to those parents?
Mass trials. Basically, you see a room full, a courtroom full of immigrants. They just arrived at the border. They're being transported from processing facilities to that courtroom. And the next thing you hear is each of them saying guilty, culpable, culpable, guilty, without sometimes the proper legal assistance or advice, which is, I think, a central component of what we call due process, a central component of the rule of law. Something that you hear a lot from Trump administration officials. And that's what is happening. You talk to organizations, activists at the border, and that's what's missing the most, the proper legal advice and the proper legal representation for these immigrants.
Well, let's listen to President Trump yesterday. Here he is blaming Democrats for what's happening.
They want us to take care of the minors, and that's fine. But they don't want to give us the money to take care of them. Because the worse everything looks, they think the better they're going to do.
Now, Tolu, administration officials have provided multiple explanations for what was happening at the border. They said that the policy, the zero tolerance policy, was a deterrent. Then they said it wasn't. It was a policy. Then it wasn't. Officials were following the law. Then it was the Democrats' law. Then only Congress could change it. And it turns out that President Trump could undo it with the stroke of a pen in his executive order. What does this tell us about the Trump White House?
Yeah, they've been all over the place. It's been very chaotic. They have had a lot of trouble on the messaging of this and trying to explain what they're doing to the American people, in part because it's difficult to explain a policy of separating parents from their children. It's something that's vastly unpopular with the American people of all different stripes and all different political backgrounds. That's why you've seen so much backlash from even Republicans saying that the president should reverse course. When you heard the president say that the Democrats won't give the money, it's not necessarily money to take care of the kids. The president wants money for a border wall, and he wants a lot of immigration restrictions, and these children are getting caught up in that political battle where the president is saying, you know, Democrats won't come to the table and give me all of the things that I want on immigration, including a border wall, including all this money for new immigration officials and immigration enforcement officials, and changes to so-called loopholes. So these children are sort of being caught up in that political battle with the president saying he wants Democrats to come to the table.
And Congress not doing anything, at least just yet. A conservative bill, including a border wall, failed yesterday. Republicans' leaders postponed a vote on the Republican-written, quote, compromise bill until next week. And yesterday, House Speaker Paul Ryan was asked what Plan C was if it fails.
So we will cross that bridge if we get to it. But a lot of our members want to be able to express themselves by voting for the policies that they like.
Enrique, is anything going to happen on Capitol Hill, especially after President Trump's tweet saying they should wait till after the midterms to do anything?
Right, Jeremy. First of all, let's just be very clear about what happened here in the last 3 months. The Trump administration rolled out a policy to separate families without having a plan to reunify those families. And that's very clear, and it's becoming more evident each day. Then back to Congress. Just in 2013, Senate passed a bill, which was more a border security bill than a comprehensive immigration reform bill, I'd say. But they passed a bill, and then, again, hard-right Republicans in the House blocked that. It didn't even get to a vote, despite the fact that it had the support necessary to be passed through the lower house. And it's happening again now. I don't think Republicans within the Republican Party can agree on a bill that would get enough support to go through the House at this moment. So like it happened with the repeal of Obamacare. So we're facing that very evident reality of Republicans not agreeing, despite the fact that they have majorities in both houses and they control the White House and most of the government, local governments around the country.
Mm. Well, let's listen to Minority Leader, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. She scoffed at the idea of a compromise bill.
It is not a compromise. It may be a compromise with the devil, but it's not a compromise with the Democrats in terms of what they have in their bill.
Tolu, where are Democrats on immigration legislation? And, I mean, is there any desire at all to actually work towards something that would be a palatable compromise?
Yeah, Democrats say they had an agreement last year where they were going to provide President Trump about $25 billion to build a border wall in exchange for protecting the Dreamers and making sure that there's a DACA fix. But then President Trump and the administration started wanting to add different requirements, including cuts to legal immigration, and that really kind of blew up the deal. Well, when you heard Speaker Paul Ryan say that our members want to have an opportunity to vote on something, that sort of flies in the face of what this whole exercise has been in the House, which has been a way to block the discharge position, which was sort of this organic movement by Democrats and Republicans signing a discharge position so that they could have a series of various different votes on bills that that different members wanted to vote on immigration. And the leadership blocked that by putting together various bills that ended up not having support to pass. So Speaker Ryan is basically trying to shut out the Democrats by getting rid of the discharge position petition, while putting up bills for the floor that don't have enough support to pass, but allow Republicans to vote on their conscience. So it does appear that Republican leadership has sort of cut out the Democrats from this process, and President Trump is saying that we'll have to wait until the midterms, and much of what will happen will have to depend on what happens during November voting period.
I want to ask about one more thing on this issue, Enrique, and I really truly do not understand what the message was here, but Melania Trump's jacket yesterday, she went to visit the border. She went to visit a facility where people were being held, and she wore a jacket that said on the back of it, "I really don't care, do you?" Do you have any sense of what that was about at all?
I have no idea, Jeremy, and I think we should all care about what's going on in this country, not just at the border. Going back to the question about the wall, in the end, Trump will succeed in building his wall, but it won't be a wall at the border. It won't be paid for by Mexico. Trump's wall will divide Americans inside the U.S. It already is. It will keep isolating this country from the rest of the world, and I think it will be paid for by generations to come.
Tolu, do you have any idea what that jacket was about?
Well, if you listen to the first lady spokesperson, it's just a jacket, just a fashion statement, nothing behind it, no hidden meaning. But the president says it was a swipe at the fake news media, and it was basically a sense that she doesn't care what the media thinks about her. Hard to say with this administration. You hear different explanations from different right. people in the administration. So we'll just have to wait and see what the true story is.
That's Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision, and Tolu Olorunipa, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.